coming in September exclusively over the transmission platform that is WBAI Pacifica Radio 99.5 FM, New York. A No Mo Radio production in conjunction with the Artsy Fartsy Collective at the Brooklyn Common. Something you've never experienced before. Prepare yourself.
And welcome. You're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. This is Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. I'm Catherine, and I'm joined by phone by my co-host, Paulette. Welcome and hello, Paulette.
Hello, Catherine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day. The weather's been really nice the last couple of days, just a little bit of rain here and there.
Yeah.
But overall, it's been
beautiful.
A wonderful experience.
Mm.
Have you had a chance to be outside?
Yes, I have. And just I've been something of a homebody, but I've been out a few times and enjoyed the sunlight and the nice cool weather. And so it has been indeed lovely weather to sort of spend the day in. Yes.
Yeah, me too. I don't remember exactly which day it was, but a couple of days ago I went to the park. It was a little bit late in the day, and it was just so beautiful to just lay in the grass and enjoy the weather, and everyone was in a really nice state of mind. So it must have been the weekend because there were a lot of people in the park.
Oh.
A lot of picnicking and, you know, people having, just generally having a wonderful time. It was very relaxed.
So what summer should be.
Yeah. And so I had a really nice, gentle afternoon in Prospect Park. It was pretty cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So tell me what's happening with you. Are you working on your projects?
Oh, several of them, and a lot of research, you know, and looking at somewhat of a historical research, looking at what the world was like back in the 1980s. A lot of it touches upon some of the topics that are, I guess, in the news these days, especially the recent, the sanctioning by the American Psychological Association of using psychologists in torture, and so I'm looking back at some of them. The materials that came out in the 80s, I mean, it's not the most pleasant of subjects. It's actually a bit gruesome in a way, but it's interesting to look at, have a perspective of foreign policy and what was sanctioned way back when, that where you look at psychological, psychologically based maneuvers that were intended to influence populations that were subjected to U.S. foreign policy in Central America in the 80s. So I'm learning quite a bit, and when I read that early material and sort of do a comparison to what we're hearing in the news right now, it actually makes for a lot of food for thought.
Yeah. Well, things don't seem to be changing a whole lot, but I believe that there are changes in the sense that I remember back in the 80s, people were really not familiar with what was going on behind the scenes and in, you know, the underbelly of politics, where now it seems that people are much, much, much more informed. They may be apathetic, but they're more informed.
It's funny. So now the people, well, I wouldn't go as far as to say don't know, don't care, and, you know, now knowing and not caring, but yeah, it's a somewhat different kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, people seem a bit overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, by everything, and, you know, all the politics, it does seem a bit overwhelming. But so that's interesting. It will be interesting to hear more about it as you proceed with your research. And I know that you're working on a book, and so you've got a lot happening, so we could talk a little bit more about that. But during tonight's program, mm-hmm. we are going to be joined by Jeremiah Hosea, and he's going to be talking about his upcoming concert, and maybe he'll have a few thoughts about what's going on in the world as well. Mm. And, we are, the studio here is improving leaps and bounds. We now have a full table set up and chairs and microphones for guests, which is wonderful, but we are still limited with one telephone. Mm. So I will be calling you back after I have a chance to bring Jeremiah on, and we can talk a bit about his work and his music as well as his activism. So stay tuned, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Welcome back. You're tuned to WBAI in New York. This is Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. And I'm very happy to introduce our guest this evening, and that is Jeremiah Hosea. And many of you remember Jeremiah because he's done a lot of music around the city with Earth Driver, as well as he's been on this particular program a few times.
Yeah.
And he is, I always recognize your voice, Jeremiah, because you call in to different shows at different times and have some interesting things to say.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of the schedule nowadays.
That is true. Things have changed. But I welcome you here this evening, or this morning, I should say.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad to have you because you are going to be doing a really interesting performance late night at part of the Late Night Groove series at the Blue Note.
This
is Friday, yeah. So I wanted people to be reminded so that they can participate, go in, and have a great time. Tell us a little something about the show before we, you know, transition to some other kind of conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. This Friday at midnight, I'm going to be performing with my own trio, the Jeremiah Hosea Trio, at the Blue Note, the legendary Blue Note, 131 West 3rd Street. I know we can't say the price of the ticket, but it's very affordable. It's pretty much your cheapest entry into the Blue Note. And it's part of the Late Night Groove series, which has been going on for a little while, which allows some of the, you know, I don't know what you want to say, the up-and-coming talent, the undersung talent, you know, some of the creme de la creme of the indie underground, it can play at the Blue Note on Friday and Saturday nights now, so there's a lot of really interesting performances that are affordable, and I'm really honored to be on the series again. I've actually been playing at the Blue Note for a while, so it's been a good relationship, I have to say, and, you know, this is, I don't know how many times I've had my own show there. This is maybe the fifth or, tonight, I think it's the sixth or the seventh time I've had my own show under the name of Jeremiah Hosea. There's also been Earth Driver shows. I've also booked my friend Sharif Simmons, Peter Prince. We had a side project called a sort of an Earth Driver offshoot called Three Brained Being. So it's been an ongoing relationship with the Blue Note. But tomorrow I'm doing my own singer-songwriter material, some obscure covers. I'm actually going to be singing, which I've kind of incorporated into my set at this point, is The Bell for Freedom by Stevie Wonder in tribute to Robert Knight. I just kind of sing that as an ongoing tribute. I guess the first performance I had after Robert passed, I wanted to sing that in honor of him, and it just felt really good to sing, and I got a really good response, and the lyrics of it are just so powerful that, you know, I've just continued to sing it, basically.
Well, that's really wonderful to hear. It's probably so beautiful when you offer that rendition.
Well, you know, it was interesting because I was in a group vocal class the other day, and you know, I consider myself still very much, you know, a novice as a singer. I mean, I feel like I have some ability and I have a unique voice, but I know I'm not Whitney Houston, you know.
People are.
Right, of course. But, you know, I was in a vocal class with a lot of good singers, and it was a good experience I had just less than, you know, a couple weeks ago, singing in front of other singers, but strangers. And I sang that one song, and it's like, I don't know, I'm not going to praise my own vocal performance or anything like that, but the vocal teacher just made the compliment and the comment that I was just singing for the air, that I wasn't, I wasn't, you know, worried in a sense, or, you know, performing in front of strangers, which normally I would be entirely, but it's just a whole other relationship that I have with that song that's sort of just a spiritual statement, and I don't feel sort of the normal nerves, I guess, you feel when you're just, you know, I don't know, trying to impress people. Like, I consider the song a tribute, so I just sing it as earnestly as I can, and I feel, you know, assured in that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really very, very, very nice. I think people will enjoy it, and I really am, I'm hoping to be there myself.
Yeah,
it
absolutely
should be a great performance Friday night, this coming Friday, August 14th, 12:30 a.m.
And I want to mention also, we have two dynamite musicians on stage with me, which I just cannot forget to mention. My good friend Swiss Chris, who's, you know, great drummer, world-class drummer, world-renowned drummer, leading drum educator at this point. He published a book called Modern Drum Set Stickings, which is like, at one point, maybe still, is a leading educational book for percussionists.
Mm-hmm.
And my good friend Jerome Jordan, who I've played with Tamar Colley, for many years, and on several other projects. He's played in Earth Driver over the past several years. He's going to be playing with me, and I really, I could say in total confidence that each of those guys are more than worth the price of admission on their own. I mean, I think I have some pretty cool songs, but even if you took me out of the equation, those guys are really dynamite. So, you know, come out and see some live music. It's not, you know, I know it's hard to get out at night, or sometimes you feel, oh, yeah, I was going to go, but then I got a little tired. Just get up and come out and please support me. I'm an independent artist. I'm a BAI listener, subscriber, contributor, and you know, I'm an artist in the making. You know, I'm a student of the bass. I humbly present my music to you. I'm not trying to be, you know, Beyonce or Jay-Z or any of these kind
well,
of characters.
You know, I can appreciate your being humble, but I have heard you perform, okay? So you're not going to be able to say all that with me, because I think
I appreciate it. Well, you know what it is? I guess I just realized, you know, music is a matter of opinion. You know, I realize that. I really believe in the art as sort of an ancient thing. I really believe in people coming together in this sort of form. You know, you can electrify the instruments, they can be acoustic instruments, but it's this coming together of people that, you know, that I'm really honored to be a part of every time we can do it. So I just feel like, you know, as an independent artist, you kind of, I don't know, there's a lot of people have this misconception that, you know, if you're making music, that you're trying to be a pop star, quote unquote.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I have songs that, you know, heck, I wouldn't mind if a song of mine made it to the pop charts. That would be cool, but I'm not continuing what I do in the hopes of that. I'm going to continue what I do because I'm a lifer. Music is just my way of life, and I want to share that with as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners and other musicians. And that's another thing. We're going to have some really dynamite musicians coming in to end the whole night in a jam session. Ornette Coleman was actually a very close family friend. And one of the greatest honors of my life, I could say, is I had the pleasure, the privilege, and the absolute honor of going to Ornette Coleman's place with my electric bass, my amplifier, and I literally just jammed with Ornette, just the two of us, for over an hour.
Wow.
Uninterrupted. And it was just, it was such an incredible experience because I wasn't auditioning for a gig. We weren't playing standard tunes. We were just improvising.
Wow. And so that's like the Nirvana of music experience, where you can just totally immerse yourself into that.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I can't even tell. I mean, it's, you know, he was already, you know, he was already up there in years. I mean, it was just a few years ago, but his tone was so rich still that I was like, wow, 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 Ornette Coleman, you know? I mean, still, the tone was there, and it was just one of the greatest honors of my life by far. And, you know, Ornette, having just passed recently and having attended his funeral, you know, it was just very powerful, very impactful. A lot of incredible musicians there performing music and speaking. And, I mean, what an amazing individual, and just something that really affected me this summer. So I really wanted to make it a point to to make a jam session, invite some of my friends to just play, to improvise. That's one thing I do every time I do a show at Blue Note, in tribute to the improvisers who have been on that stage. We just improvise, and it's always been good. And I'm really delighted to say my friend Dave Mullen, great saxophone player, is like racing in from another gig to make sure to get to the jam session. So another person is just worth the price of admission. I mean, dynamite saxophone player. It's actually, I mean, a multi-instrumentalist. The guy plays trumpet, trombone, flute, piano. I mean, he's really a great, great musician. I had the honor of touring with him in the Gloria Gaynor band. And, you know, he's going to be sitting in. We're going to have my friend Akim the Funk Buddha, which if you've never seen him, he's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I mean, just a very unique artist, for sure. And a few more friends. My friend Olu, he's like a big brother to me. great singer, Harlem-based singer, multi-instrumentalist. He's going to sit in. So we're going to have some great folks getting together and just playing in the name of improvising and in tribute to Ornette Coleman.
Wow, that's going to be something one of a kind, not to be missed, for sure. And so for those of you who are just tuning in, we're speaking to Jeremiah Hosea, and he's going to be part of the Late Night Groove series at the Blue Note this coming Friday night, August 14th. It says 12:30 a.m., but probably get there by midnight to make sure you get in and you can get a nice seat. It's really not expensive. We can't give prices, but it's unbelievably inexpensive. And you could even save a little bit more by getting your ticket in advance. And you can call the Blue Note itself, 212-475-8592. That's 212-475-8592, or go to the website bluenotejazz.com, bluenotejazz.com, and you can get your ticket for the Friday night, August 14th, performance with Jeremiah Hosea.
It's a classy little date, you know?
Yeah,
it's a classy date, and you don't have to get the full Blue Note experience in terms of the price.
Exactly, but you get the ambiance and the music.
Yeah, and the, you know, and it's going to be some really, you know, dare I say, good music. I mean, I'm really excited about some new material I'll be presenting, and you know, it's just a nice little set. We're going to touch on several different genres. We're not playing straight-ahead jazz, per se. I don't really know what to call my music. My career has been very eclectic. My tastes are very eclectic.
Mm-hmm.
And my set is pretty eclectic. Some of it's kind of rock. Some of it's funk. Some of it's ambient. Got a little bit of a dub, reggae kind of vibe at some points. I don't know, we touch on a lot of different things, certainly, you know, jazz influenced and jazz inspired at times, but not straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that kind of, you know, Blue Note gig, but I think you guys will enjoy it. Just come on out. And one thing I recommend to people is, you know, sometimes when you change up your pattern a little bit, like maybe you don't stay out late on a Friday night normally, you know, sometimes it's good to change your pattern, to do something a little bit different that you didn't plan on doing necessarily or that you wouldn't ordinarily do, because if nothing else, it just gives you a new frame of mind for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
It just allows you to maybe kind of get over the hump with maybe some other thoughts that have been going around in a circle in your head.
That's true. Music can be very inspiring, and can move you in ways that you just can't do any other way. So I really think that music is a very powerful life tool, spiritual tool, and it's just fun. The experience is fun. So,
yeah,
and a lot of people are up on Friday nights. To tell you
yeah,
the
that's
truth.
True. That's another thing. I mean, it is New York.
A lot
Come
of folks
on, guys.
Are looking for something interesting to do, and this, like you said, this would be a really nice, classy date, or you could take yourself out. Appreciate yourself
yeah,
and
go
come
by
on
yourself.
Out.
I mean, what the heck? That's a
to
really
the,
cool
performers.
Thing to do.
That's what I usually do. And so it's Friday, August 14th.
That's a very silent power thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, self-empowering. And it's 131 West 3rd Street in
right,
the
all
village.
All those trains to West 4th Street. You
yeah. So doors open at 12. The show time is 12:30. And if you can get there on the train, I'm pretty sure you can get inside because it's so reasonable.
Yeah, so. And, you know, I if you don't know my background, I am a New York City-based electric bass player. I'm the co-founder of a band called Earth Driver, which is an artist, activist, mothership-style band. We've done benefit concerts for all kinds of causes, for Haiti, for Sudan, for Chiapas, Mexico, for victims of police brutality, political prisoners, many, many, many events over the course of the past 10 years and a little bit more, actually, by now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the players who were in Earth Driver way back 10 years ago have gone on to, you know, be featured on major albums, world tours. Swiss Chris, the drummer performing with me, was musical director for John Legend for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm well-credentialed myself. I've been on the road with a dozen different bands. I've played for a while with the legendary James Blood Ulmer. I played with Legends of Hip Hop. I was playing heavy metal with Tamar Kali the night before I made my debut with Gloria Gaynor in Panama City. So I bring a pretty unique experience to the table, which I'm proud of. I mean, I set out years ago to just have the most diverse career I possibly could, and, you know, I'm very pleased with what I've been able to do. One of my best gigs of my career was with Iji Gayeu Shababao. She's, you know, a legendary singer out of Ethiopia. Kersh Kale is the man I call, like, the leading progenitor of the Indian electronica kind of sound. Mm-hmm. Masterful tabla player, great trap kit player, and great electronic music producer. So I've toured with him for years and played a lot of blues with people like Liddell McClinn, toured in upstate New York and Pennsylvania and the backwoods with my good friend Peter Prince, the man I call the godfather of rocket soul. So, you know, it's been really fun being a bass player, and I bring a diverse experience to the table, and, you know, I like to share that. And, you know, I'm getting more, I would say, it always feels new to me. You know, it still feels new to me. I was a bass player who just really wanted to play the bass and was a student of the instrument. And, you know, then I kind of started venturing towards the microphone, and then I started having a little fun with it. And now I'm, like, at the point that I'm, like, I'm into this, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, I want to thank the Vocal Workout. My good friend Ilana Martin is really just a brilliant vocal teacher, and she's been sort of sponsoring me and other singers. And, you know, I've gotten a few vocal lessons courtesy of the Vocal Workout in preparation for this gig, and I want to thank her. And I also put that out there to say, hey, at least, you know, a really good vocal teacher has some belief in me. So mm-hmm. It's another little vote of confidence for people who aren't sure what they're going to be hearing. But
yeah.
You can always go to earthdriver.org.
Exactly.
And there's tons of albums there. The two Earthdriver albums, No One Slave and Earthdriver. There's free downloads. Please partake in the free downloads. And also there's interviews and lectures. So check out some of my interviews. I interviewed WBAI's own Teokasin Ghost Horse. I interviewed Rob T. Firefly from Off the Hook. So it's very BAI connected and related. And I would really like my shows and other such events to be a place where BAI listeners and supporters and subscribers can meet each other face to face, shake each other's hands, you know, say hello.
Exactly.
And, you know, please, if you heard about the show from this program, please, you know, make sure to just stop by after the show, because I'm always looking to connect with BAI people.
Excellent. Earthdriver.org. I'm actually on the site right now.
Great.
Is there something here that I could play as we make our transition? I'd love to play
absolutely.
Something.
Maybe play my free song, Sentient Being.
Okay, let me see.
There's on the list of free downloads. There's a song, Sentient Being. So that's one of my tunes. So at least you get a little kind of taste of my flavor. I mean, it's from a few years ago, of course. I'm not going to go into the whole self-critical artist thing. Like, mm-hmm. I've grown since then. But you know, I think it's earnest. So
okay,
check it out.
All right, so we'll play that. And then I just want to make sure that people get that info again. It's Friday night, August 14th, 12:30 a.m. at the Blue Note. And it's right there on West 3rd Street, 132, is it? Or
131 West
131 3rd. West 3rd Street.
And, you know, you take the E train, the D train, the F train, the B train, the C train, the A train. Any one of those trains goes right there to West 4th Street, and it's just barely around the corner. It's so easy to get to. So, you know, please come out, enjoy some good music. We're going to have all kinds of great players. You know, it's basically bass, drums, guitar, and vocals to start out with, but then we're going to open up the crucible and get some horn players and keyboard players in the mix, and it's going to be really a special night, and I'm really, really excited about it. So
wow,
great to see you guys, and, you know, it's important. We see all the horrible things being produced in quote-unquote popular culture. Well, you know, let's forget about that and come and support the real culture, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, we have to enjoy ourselves and commune with each other and, you know, build strength to go, you know, face the world another day. And this is a great way to do it. So,
And I'll also say, you know, with that in mind, my set is organized in a way to lift your spirits. I go into a couple little melancholy areas, but I don't stay there, and I make sure to lift up out of all of those areas.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come to my show, there is some definite soul information to make sure you feel good at certain points. It's not just a bunch of random emotions being thrown at you.
Well, that's cool. That's wonderful. And I know that the music...
I don't like that personally as an artist. You know, sometimes I like the way things sound, but I don't like the way I'm being manipulated emotionally.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I felt okay before you started singing this stuff.
Well, I don't think that's going to be a problem in this case.
No,
you know, people are going to... I'm sure that people will leave that space feeling uplifted and having been entertained. And then also there's the, like you said, there's the connection of, you know, meeting the other listeners, meeting the people who are there and enjoying the music and having a chance to say hello to you, Jeremiah Hosea. So
yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for taking
time.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't thank you enough because, I mean, you know, you've just been so cool over the years. I mean, in every way, I have to say that. I mean, you had Earth Driver on as your guest many, many years ago, and you've always given me an opportunity to check in with you on the air, and I just couldn't appreciate it enough. I just think you're so cool for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. I appreciate your work.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Well, I will. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be tuning in. I'll be listening to the rest of the program.
All right. Take good care now.
You too. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so this doesn't seem to be working so well. Let me see. I might have to download it. So I'm going to download the piece, and then we'll be able to play it. You're listening to Heart of Mine, Earth at Midnight. And I'm Catherine Davis. We just heard from Jeremiah Hosea of Earth Driver. I'm going to see if this is going to work. Let me give it one more shot. Now... not working. Well, we'll see how long it takes to download, and then we'll be able to play it there. Or maybe I can get some technical assistance from our lovely Max Schmid. I'm trying to play this. Am I a piece of music from the computer?
Yeah, on computer two.
Computer yeah.
One.
Oh, it would help if I turned up the correct. Wasn't working so well, you know. We are doing what we can. So something is happening here still, Max. Okay, there we go. I'm going to try it again a little bit later in the program, but in the meantime, I'll give you a little music break. You know, this is the way of life at WBAI. You get to witness it all. And so let's see if I can get to the other computer. We'll play a little music. And then, let's see. Okay. Max? What is the computer we would normally be using? Computer 2? Yeah, the one with the carts. La da da. You're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. Aha, WBAI.org. I'm going to play another piece of music for you and try to get that Earth Driver piece back up.
Every day that you pass my way, I wonder about your life. What is your age? Are you connected? If so, does she treat you right? Now please, excuse me for being so worried, but I couldn't let this chance go by without letting you know why. You mean to me, I know you cannot read my mind,
And welcome back. Hello, Paulette.
Hello, Kathy.
Well, I have my little snafu here. I was trying to play some music from the Earth Driver site. And
I heard.
And discovered that the system had changed.
Oh, my.
And so it's like being in a river. You know, the water is never quite the same. You know, it keeps rolling along.
Mm.
And you're still in it, but the water is actually different. And so when I come into the studio very often, it's changed.
Oh.
And now we're clicking between three different resources instead of two.
Oh, my.
And every time I click, you get a little interruption. So we were listening to the music, Lovely Day, so I tried to click to the computer, to the other screen, and it sort of glitches the song.
Mm.
So it's just one of those.
Well, it is a lovely
things.
Day.
It is, isn't it?
Despite it all.
I know. Well, you know, you have to go with the flow sometimes, you know?
It's true.
You have to just let it be what it is and hope for the best.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm going to try again to get the song by Earth Driver.
Okay.
By Jeremiah.
Okay.
Let me see if I can. I've clicked to another computer. I'm almost afraid to play it, but I'm going to give it a shot. Let's see what happens. Well, it doesn't seem to be coming through stereo, but it's still a nice tune. Here it is.
He said you were the other. He said you were the other.
You were the other. But
Oh, that worked. Managed to get it going. And that's a beautiful song.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really beautiful song.
All of Jeremiah's music is beautiful, and he has the really most superb musicians.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true. I also wanted to let people know before I forget that I do have an announcement for you of an event that's happening on Sunday, August 23rd. The 7th Annual New York City Friends of Clearwater Festival, and it's from 2 to 7 p.m., and this year's theme is Efficiency is Sexy. Everyone appreciates solar and wind, but efficiency and conservation changes the conversation. Hmm. And it's going to be celebrating the music and activism of Ray Corona, a free concert, wonderful environment, educators, potluck, so I guess you would bring stuff if you want, speakers, Marilyn L., Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition, Will Don Fishman, New York Solar Energy Society and Green Energy Times, Tom Wismiller, International Climate and Energy Lecturer, the Judson Nuclear Information and Resource Service, Tim Keating, Rainforest Relief, Friends of Ray, Ken Gale, our own Ken Gale will be there, New York City Safe Energy Campaign, and a longtime member of NYCFC, the host and producer of Ecologic, so that's Ken Gale. So there's going to be a number of different musicians, including Ray Corona Band, Judy Gorman is going to be there, the Metro New York Metro Raging Grannies. And so it sounds like it's going to be really great. LES Ecology Center on the East River Park entrance on Cherry Street. So that sounds like a downtown thing. Mm. Educate, advocate, celebrate community. Like-minded people partying together. And let's see, you can find, if I can find a phone number, for you to get more information, I will let you know what that is. So this is about the Sloop. It's for the Sloop Club. It's a great Friends of Clearwater event. They actually are looking for some volunteers. If you want to volunteer, and they're actually going to have a boat event. You know, they have the whole sloop when you go out on the boat. And so for those people who are interested in that, you might want to check that out. And they are looking for volunteers. So if you want to enjoy the event and then go out on the boat, you can go to the website is nycfriendsofclearwater.org. nycfriendsofclearwater.org. You could also find them on Facebook, facebook.com/nycfriendsofclearwater, and you can find out a lot more about this very special event. And let's see if I can find a contact for you. I guess you would have to send an email if you want to volunteer. And you can send that email to nycsloopclub@gmail.com. So if you want to volunteer and participate in this event and other events coming up, nycsloopclub@gmail.com in order to be on the inside, such as it is. And so this is special, I think, you know. We've done a lot of work with Clearwater here at WBAI, as well as a lot of environmental work at WBAI. So this is going to be an important event, Sunday, August 23rd. And if possible, I will get more info and maybe a more direct connection interview before the event takes place. Okay, so that's cool. And just as a reminder, the Jeremiah Hosea will be at the Blue Note this weekend, and that's Friday, August 14th, 12:30 a.m. at the Blue Note. So that's pretty cool. All right, so we have about a half hour to go of our program this morning. And I really enjoyed the interview with Jeremiah. He's such a humble fellow to be so talented. It's amazing.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's true. It's just amazing.
And very conscious human being.
Yeah, and for those of you who want to check out, you know, the magnitude of his work, you can go to earthdriver.org, and you'll be able to see information about his event coming up. And I suppose as events do come up, you can tune in to hear some of his music, and I'm sure it'll sound better on your computer than it did through the microphones here. And you can check out some of the interviews and stuff that he does. So it's a wonderful, a beautiful thing. So, so Paulette, you were talking about some of the projects that you're working on. What are you doing these days to have fun?
Oh boy, that's a really good question. I guess I'm just enjoying the my living space. I think that I have earned in spades my little piece of vacation time, and so right now I'm just enjoying doing a bit of nothing. And having these sort of spurts where I go into this research mode, but it's just been wonderful just resting my physical and mental self, mm-hmm. and just enjoying some of the neighborhood I live in, and that's all really.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. That's always lovely. I have been pretty much enjoying quiet time myself. I spend a lot of my time in meditation, you know, a surprising amount, actually, even to myself.
Oh.
And because I just really, really enjoy getting into that calm, peaceful state where things that happen in the world or that happen in, you know, my immediate surroundings are not quite so rattling. They don't shake me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I enjoy being in that calm state. And so I spend a lot of time meditating, even when I'm not realizing it. I'm just doing my own thing, you know, cooking or, you know, playing with the cats. But I always feel like I'm, you know, getting into that quiet space. I'm always looking for a connection to my heart space, because to me that's really the only time I truly feel complete. You know, I feel myself, I feel like a full being, I feel at peace with myself.
Mm.
And when I get to that state of disconnection, I mean, I can really feel it at this point. So I almost have reached a point of living in a meditative state, if that makes any sense at all. And it's really nice. It's really, really nice. It changes the energy of everything, the vibration of, you know, people around you might be agitated or things may happen that might be slightly annoying, but it just doesn't seem to have the impact that it used to. So I'm really, really enjoying this space. And I actually am feeling a real difference in the energy levels of our environment, of the world, of, I guess, a cosmic environment, really. And I think that we're going to be in for some very interesting changes very soon. I mean, there are political changes coming with all the elections, and there are all kinds of predictions in terms of the stock markets, whether they're going to crash and all this. But,
yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be the first time, you know, if it crashes, it'll recover. I wouldn't worry so much about it. The elections, doesn't matter who gets in anyway, so, you know, why worry about it? And so, in a way...
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to be able to meditate like that and simply calm your mind that way. And I think I'm of the same mind that there's certain things that you sort of needs to be able to kind of detach from, or and I guess a certain way is you sort of incorporate it into who you are, but it doesn't harm you. And I think that's extremely important. And I think for what I've been experiencing, I think having this bit of time and distance from certain environments, it's been a wonderful thing to sort of get a retrospective view on an environment. Sometimes you have to remove yourself from it in order to really appreciate what it is and you know, all of the different dynamics that come into play. So that's been very, very important to have this time to myself.
Yeah, I think everybody needs to have that if they can manage it. It's really important to be able to do that. And actually, I'll be doing a meditation class, a Qigong meditation class on Saturday here in Brooklyn for those who want to participate. I guess unless it's, you know, raining really hard or something, we wouldn't go out and do the Qigong class. But we do it in Prospect Park.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and meeting at the main library on Grand Army Plaza at about noon, between noon and 1, we gather, and then at 1 o'clock we go into the park and do Qigong. So anyone who's listening, if you want to come out and do some, it's considered to be a moving meditation. You're breathing and moving. It looks a little like Tai Chi, but it's more of an internal meditation than Tai Chi might be considered. So for those who want to participate, you're welcome to join us for the class. And if you want to connect with me by email, if you have a question, just send the email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, or you can leave a phone message. And I could get back to you if you have any questions. And my number is 347-480-1694. 347-480-1694. So, you know, that's just one of those things that I enjoy doing, going into the park. I really actually, you know, this is on Saturday, we're meeting between 12 and 1. But usually when I go to the park, I like to be there before the sun rises and actually watch the sunrise. Yeah.
How lovely.
Yeah. And the world is very different in the early morning hours.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's just like it's very peaceful. It's kind of almost otherworldly. And when you go into the park during those hours, and gratefully, you know, Prospect Park is a lot safer than it used to be.
Mm.
And usually what's happening in the morning is people take their dogs out. And so you'll see people with their dogs running around. And I like to go out there and meditate. And it's just so calm and peaceful in the early morning hours. I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, I used to live near there. And I used to live about a block away from the park on 15th Street in Prospect Park West. And I used to love going to the lake and just watching the swans. And
that's really nice about the park, because it's on the, you know, the migration route. So you get a lot of different birds coming through. It's pretty cool. Well, that's nice. I enjoy that as well. And one of the things that's really interesting, I've been looking, you know, I actually have a Facebook page for people who are interested. I guess you would have to go facebook.com/Katherine Davis, maybe? K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. I never know how Facebook works, Katherine Davis. But it's there. You'll find me. I've been seeing a lot of stories about countries banning GMO, you know, genetically modified food, countries and states. Mm-hmm. And I just saw a notice that the Big Island of Hawaii, the mayor signs bill to ban GMOs in that island of Hawaii. I thought that was very cool.
Yeah.
And you know, there are quite a few countries that have also banned it as well. And yeah, it's really important because a lot of the GMOs, the genetically modified foods, are going to have a terrible impact, or can have a terrible impact on our health. And I don't believe that it's very life-affirming food.
Yeah, and I guess part of the controversy is that much of it hasn't been really tested in terms of its long-term effects on the human body.
No, we're the test. We're the guinea pigs, I believe.
Yeah.
And I came across another really cool story, which is good news. You know, a very terrible practice that takes place in actually many countries across the world, but it's particularly prevalent in Africa. But the country of Nigeria has recently banned female genital mutilation, which I think is significant and more than past time for that to have taken place. I was really glad to see that.
Yeah, and I think one aspect of that is interesting in that in many countries, although some people may have the sense that it might be a male-driven practice, mm-hmm, in many countries it's actually a female-driven practice. That it, for whatever cultural value that's there in terms of the aesthetics of it, it's actually something that women perpetuate with other women in many cases.
Yeah, because it's the women, and very often the midwives that perform that surgery, if you could mm-hmm call it that. Yeah, mutilation is the word for it. But and it was very, very, very widely practiced. So
yes,
I think that this is really incredibly good news. And the actual law is quite broad in terms of its respecting the rights of women.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on to say, yeah, it says, this happened in May 5th of 2015. The Nigerian Senate passed the Violence Against Persons Prohibition Act of 2015, and in doing so banned the genital mutilation that countless girls have endured for generations.
Mm. Yeah.
And so it also, this law prohibits female circumcision or genital mutilation, forceful ejection from home, and harmful widowhood practices. It prohibits abandonment of spouse, children, and other dependents without sustenance, and it prevents battery and harmful traditional practices. So first, this speaks to the horrific practices that have been going on for so many generations, all being banned in the country of Nigeria. And so I think that's pretty amazing. And, you know, there's another story, if I can find it, of, I think it was Malawi, a couple of months ago, banned child brides, you know. So they've passed a law that girls have to be 18 in order to be married. And the chief person in that country of Malawi, and one of the major districts, actually annulled 300 marriages, child bride marriages, and sent and sent the girls back to school. So I think that, you know, change happens slowly, but change is really occurring. We don't really get the news. We don't get the reporting of it because our media likes to keep us entangled in fear and doubt.
And National Enquirer-type stories.
Yeah, but when you really begin to look at some of the alternative media, it really shows that things are happening. I see another story here. In El Salvador, they kicked Monsanto and their seeds out of the country. So they won't have any of that, you know, awful Frankenstein food, we used to call it. So, you know, there's a lot going on that's good. I mean, there's still the awful stuff, but there's still good. And I see a story here that Monsanto's earnings fell 34% so far because of global protests against their work. So I think that it's, you know, people are waking up and things are changing. We just don't often have an opportunity to hear about it. Yeah, exactly. I post a lot of these stories on my Facebook pages so that people can have a sense of what's really happening in the world. Not all of it's good, but it's information that you need to hear, like some of the revelations that are coming out on the harm caused by vaccinations. And there's just a lot of information that we don't get in the mainstream.
Sure, and it's important to really continue to be conscious of the fact that we all live on the same planet, and so we don't live in a bubble. And so what happens in other countries are very important. For instance, the Monsanto things that you were just mentioning, and on how different governments are coming into line with certain, I guess, you call them, I guess, human rights when it comes to treatment of women and young girls.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so I think it's, you know, I think that one of the things that we can do really is to share with each other in ways that we can't find in the mainstream. So I'm happy to see that. And so, you know, sharing those resources, trying to get people connected. Hopefully, you know, the world will improve in ways beyond our expectations.
And I think a lot of things are going on in other parts of the world that we may not be necessarily privy to, but as your examples show, that these are there are different groups, government entities that are working. I mean, we think it's silent, but probably not where they are. It may not be so silent, but are working to sort of better the conditions of people, whether it be by honesty in food labeling, or honesty in terms of, or I should say, ways of looking and with new light, as it were, on issues of, as we say, human rights and survival.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we have to really just demand it and pay attention to what our politicians are doing, you know, because they're voting these laws that are having an impact. You know, they're allowing the corporations to basically run the country. And so it's up to us to keep them accountable.
Yes, it is. And it's a very, very much an uphill battle. And but it's, I mean, there's all these positive things that are happening, and then, you know, there's the other stuff. But I think being aware is of the good, the bad, and the ugly is critical. I think that everything starts with the first step of being aware of what's actually happening in the world. And some of these treaties that you're referring to in terms of increased corporate power and in competition with government sovereignty.
Yeah. And indigenous sovereignty very often.
Certainly.
Is still being compromised.
Absolutely.
You know, the small lands that they have recently, I forget the country if I can find it, where a contract was signed by our government giving the land to a foreign mining company so they could just come in and dig up the sacred land. So, yeah, it's a two-way street. We have good things happening and we have a lot of problems still taking place. But I just think we need a world where the information is flowing.
I agree.
So at the very least, people can make intelligence choices.
I agree. Certainly.
So that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. We're going to, I see Jim Foyne is here. He's getting set up to, I don't know, I think he's going to have something special going on. So I hope people really do stay tuned for that program.
Mm.
But
just to let you know, I've been trying to sort of get a lineup of possible guests to interview on the program.
Uh-huh.
And sort of as I work my way through, you know, confirming certain people, I'm hoping that I'll be able to have them on live so that we can both speak to them. Mm-hmm. Or in the case where that's not possible, to perhaps pre-record some interviews. But I'm trying to get a good sort of selection of people who have done a lot of activist work, but who have also defined or even undefined spiritual kind of base or compass that they're willing to speak about.
Excellent.
That motivates them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's excellent. That's excellent because, you know, we've been in Fun Drive for a long time, it seems, and it's nice to get back and, you know, have a little bit of free form flowing, but also it's important to you know, do that research and get the interviews in. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. I think it's going to be great to start hearing from people in terms of, you know, what they're doing and what's happening in the world according to certain, what would you say, you know, from certain corridors of activism and the government and activism. It's good.
Sure. And also people who have, you know, done this sort of work for, you know, decades and can speak about the changes they've seen or some of the things that are actually still the same or even worse. And so listening to people who have that sort of wisdom and knowledge of history, I think makes for very interesting conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So we will continue with our program as the weeks go forward. I'm working on bringing in as well some healers who are going to be able to talk to us, you know, from different traditions, curanderas, who heal, you know, that's really the Mexican tradition, and people who can speak to us from the Ayurvedic perspective in terms of how they can work to heal themselves. So I'll be bringing some of that in as well.
Wonderful.
And so it's going to be an interesting, magical experience here on Wednesday mornings on Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. And so I certainly look forward to continuing to work with you, Paulette, as we
same here.
Grow forward. It'll be a lot of fun, I think.
I think so.
And hopefully we'll be able to soon have telephones and we can interact with our listeners again. That's really where I have the most fun, is with the phone calls. So I'm hoping that we can do that again soon.
Certainly.
However, anyone who would like to communicate can always send an email.
Mm-hmm.
And the email for myself, that's Catherine, you could send it to heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And for those of you who are interested in my own healing practice, you can go to my Qigong site, which is qigongonline.net, and that's spelled with a Q, Qigongonline, qigongonline.net. And you can find out a lot more about, actually there are meditations there that you can listen to. A lot of information on that site. And how shall people get in touch with you, Paulette?
Well, they can get in touch with me through the email, thenightreport@gmail.com. That's the night, K-N-I-G-H-T, report as one word, @gmail.com.
Excellent. So I'm going to play a little music so we can make some room for Jim Froin and Hour of the Wolf. I hear a lot of hustling and bustling in the background, so it'll be interesting to see what he's got planned for you. And I want to thank you for joining me today, Paulette.
You're most welcome.
By phone. It'll be nice. It's always nice when we can be face-to-face, but you know how it is. It's after hours.
Yeah. It'll happen.
I know. All right. You take good care.
You too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And let's see, on today's show we heard Earth by Michelle Diocello, Come to the River by Diane Reeves. What else did we hear? I See God in You, was that India Arie? And Lovely Day, let me think, who did the song Lovely Day? I'll work that out. I'm going to start with that again as we go on. And we're going to play Mother's Song by Layla, and Sunrise Prayer by Douglas Spotted Eagle. So let me see if I can figure out who does that song, Lovely Day. And I could tell you who it is. Well, I don't see it. Well, I'll ask you to be indulgent for today, and we'll get that information for you next time. I want to thank you for joining us here on Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. I have been and continue to remain Catherine. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. Have a good morning.
I am round, I am green, I am blue. I am Mother Earth to you. I am round, I am green, I am blue. I am Mother Nature too. You will have a need, air that's pure, water too.
You know it's WBAI when Max and I are just sitting around saying, well, how do you make this work? I don't even know if anybody's hearing me at this moment. But, my theme is there. That's fascinating, Max. I'm hearing it in my headphones. Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program dedicated usually to science fiction, fantasy, the imagination, and enchantment. Well, we're going to have certainly many of those attributes. My guest this morning is Margot Atwell and Zach Zitz. Okay, so first a movie review and some music. Stay tuned. I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. Here's a curious thing. My two favorite sequences from the new animated quasi-anthology film Khalil Gibran's The Prophet are both dance sequences. I have obvious reasons for favoring one of them. It's directed by Tom Moore, the Irish director of the Oscar-nominated The Secret of Kells and the equally wonderful Song of the Sea, and who here, in translating poet Khalil Gibran's thoughts on love to the screen, uses his unique style of situating characters within elaborately patterned backgrounds to tell the tale of a man and a woman who, in their dance of love, struggle against temptations and distractions which are rendered as red-caped, masked specters. It's easily the best sequence of the film, the deceptively elemental visuals conveying powerful emotions. The other sequence, devoted to Gibran's On Marriage, is executed by director Joanne Safar, best known for his animated feature The Rabbi's Cat, and is presented as a sensuous, passionate tango between two people on an abandoned terrace. Safar manages to exquisitely visualize the gives and takes of marriage into the shifting power exchange of the dance, and doesn't seem too fazed by whether or not the visuals match up with the actual poem as read by Liam Neeson. And that may be key to my preference for these two sequences. A dance number, handled well, has its own narrative. The audio, whether a poem, a song, becomes support rather than the driver for the visuals. Gibran's poetry, while beautiful, and I should point out I've never read The Prophet. I was more a Carlos Castaneda guy in my college years, actually. But Gibran's words, while beautiful, can pose risks if adhered to too closely. Something animator Nina Paley, she of the very fine Sita Sings the Blues, finds out when her adaptation of On Children winds up with such uncomfortable imagery as a pregnant woman being bent back to form a bow with an arrow launched from her swollen stomach. It may represent empowerment, but was an awkward way of putting it, in my view. So yeah, the visualizations of the various poems that form the substance of Gibran's book are a mixed bag, but overall, pretty good. Among the rest, Michel Soka turns On Freedom into an attractively stark metaphor of birds tethered to a tree, and Bill Plimpton, whose adaptation of On Eating and Drinking salutes both agricultural and digestive processes, provides a welcome bit of impertinence, however mild, to a film that often wears its spiritual uplift too prominently on its sleeve. Where the film falters prominently and regrettably is with its framing story, which takes up a considerable portion of the running time and, as written and directed by The Lion King's Roger Allers, takes Gibran's narrative of prophet imparting his wisdom to a group of villagers before his departure back home and turns it into a more elaborate affair that centers on a poet being deported from a fictional Middle Eastern country for his radical thoughts, a mischievous and mute girl, her put-upon mother, and a couple of bumbling officials escorting the poet to his ship. There's a legend that when Walt Disney first saw the pastoral segment for Fantasia, he exclaimed, "Gee, this will make Beethoven," which, depending on your view of Disney, can be regarded either as endearing naivety or stunning arrogance, or maybe both. I get the sense that Allers, with all good intentions, is trying to similarly make Gibran here, wrapping the more conceptual conceits of the poetry segments in an appealingly mainstream Disneyfied wrapper. The animation and performances are beautiful, no question, but the portrayal of the Middle Eastern culture and the seaport's villagers strays too frequently into broad caricature. At times, it has all the cultural nuance of Disney's Aladdin. And the poet, also voiced by Liam Neeson, is such a paragon of benevolence and empathy that he gets to be a little much after a while. You know, even Jesus got angry every now and then. Salma Hayek was closely involved in the production and voices the mother, by the way, but this is clearly a passion project for her. And one of the studios involved, Participant, which specializes in projects with socially minded, usually liberal agenda, has done many good films as well as some a little too weighty
down in self-congratulation. The prophet does wander into the latter category a little too frequently, but still has rewards in allowing a wide range of animation artists the freedom to bring their own visions to the project. There is stuff that pleases, but you have to accept that there will be stuff that won't exactly please. Gibran himself would probably be happy with that balance. I'm Dan Persons. Remember, we are archiving these reviews over at my Mighty Movie Podcast website, so catch up on what you missed by going to mightymoviepodcast.com.
They used to be labeled, says Max. Okay. And good morning. I'm away for 2 weeks, right? You know, because we have fundraising. And, of course, I get preempted for fundraising. Although I made good money two weeks ago.
And we've been to IKEA. Look at this desk.
Oh, is this IKEA?
Oh, this is IKEA all the way.
Actually, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not bad. I hope all of you at home can see this. And what are my headphones? These?
Oh, no, actually, yours are now...
And why am I hearing a busy signal?
Because people don't hang up the phone when they're done with the phone. Did that go away?
Yes. Well, you can tell by the inanity of the broadcasting that you're tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio in New York City, WBAI. At 99.5 FM. This is Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. We have guests. It will be a wonderful show, but we have announcements. Number one, take your radio outside. Look to the northeast. The Perseid meteor shower. Right now, Earth is passing through the tail of a comet that we cannot see from here, but little microscopic things from, one of my guests knows how to operate the equipment far better than I do. We're going through these little microscopic bits of the tail of the comet, and they show up coming from the northeast as meteors. And you don't have to look to the northeast, you just have to look up. So lay back is the easiest way. If the sky isn't overcast and if you're in a place that doesn't have too much sky pollution, tonight and tomorrow night is the new moon, okay? So you have a better shot at seeing the Perseid shower than we've had since 2008, apparently. So enjoy it tonight and tomorrow night. It'll be through the month, but this is your best shot. Then the moon comes back, and it's even more light pollution from lunar sources. Okay, the other announcement. Oh, yes, I hope you all know that I run the New York Review of Science.